Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another lovely evening of Jay Bird watching. We're even live during the game tonight for a little bit, so that's a nice perk. Tonight with me, Adam Corsair, and we have a special guest, Jason Lee. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Craig. Thank you for the invite. I know it was last minute that I was gave you this sign that I was going to be good to go, but I'm glad I'm here, and I'm excited to talk some Blue Jays baseball.
Yeah, at least I gave you the 2 weeks notice. We just both forgot about it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris Key will also be joining us per usual. I forgot to mention this to you guys, to give a special cheers to our buddy Brendan. Got married this past weekend. Congratulations to you both, and, you know, happy memories and all good fun.
All of it.
So, and eventually we'll get him back from his honeymoon, and we'll get to have another person here that we like to have fun with. So there is that.
He said he'll be here next week. We got him next week.
Yeah, that depends on how the honeymoon hangover goes, right?
So it'll be fine. He'll be here.
Good deal. So anyways, let's talk Blue Jays baseball. And the first things I want to talk about is we actually have one of our favorite pitchers has officially called it quits. And actually, to that point, one of our Blue Jays' most recent favorite catchers has also called it quits officially and retired over the last week. That is Russell Martin and Jay Happ. So, fellas, I just wanted to, you know, the 2015-2016 teams all have a special place in our hearts. Just want to, you know, get your opinion on both those guys. And I'm going to let our guest, Jason Lee, go here first, because all three of us here actually got the pleasure of writing about them when the team was really good, when we were all at the Jays Journal together, which is, funny enough, our official home for this podcast now.
Do you want me to
start off?
Go ahead, Jason.
Start off with Jay Happ. You know, his first stint with the Blue Jays, to be honest, I don't have a lot of memories because I think I was like 12 or something when we first got him. So I just remember, you know, seeing the massive trade pop up on Sportsnet. It was like 9 or 10 players, and they were worried that, you know, that it was gonna get held up at the commissioner's office or something. But
yeah,
you know, he at the end of the day, you know, he had a great career with us. I think his second stint was even more successful than his first. You know, I remember for at least a couple of months there, he looked like he was a part of the Cy Young conversation. And then, of course, we unfortunately had to trade him to the Yankees for, I think, Billy McKinney or who it was. But, yeah, my memory of him, of Jay Happ, is, you know, just a solid number three, maybe – At times, you know, a number two starter. And, you know, the value we got on his contract was amazing. And, you know, he also provided some funny moments as well. I think he was the one that kind of made fun of the bagged milk situation in Canada, you know. So lots of fond memories of Jay Happ. And, you know, Russell Martin, you know, same thing. He was such a big leader of that 2015-2016 Blue Jays team that gave us so many amazing memories in the playoffs. You know, he was kind of, you know, maybe his bat wasn't at times our most strongest bat, but, you know, the leadership, how he handled the pitching staff, you know, I think he was, when Alex Anthopoulos signed Russell Martin, that kind of preceded the Josh Donaldson trade, I think, to my memory. And, you know, that kind of signaled to Jays fans, you know, that we were definitely going for a playoff and, you know, even a World Series run. So, you know, I think when I think of Russell Martin, you know, just a great Canadian catcher that got to play in Toronto, got to share some amazing moments. You know, I just wish him the best in retirement, and hopefully his golf game is as good as his baseball game.
Or maybe his soon-to-be managing career. Who knows, right? So, Adam, how do you feel about the tenure we got to see out of both those guys as far as Blue Jays fans are concerned?
It's funny you say that about Russell Martin, about being a manager, because I believe his last game with the Jays, he actually was a manager. I think John Gibbons let him manage.
Famous picture of him sitting in the chair all kicked up on his desk. And
yeah, yeah. So I always thought, I mean, it's not a secret that former catchers tend to become good men. So I think Russell Martin definitely has that in his future. And why bother experimenting with it if you didn't think you had some sort of interest in doing it down the line? So, Jason, to your point, you know, when the Jays acquired Russell Martin in 2015, I want to say that was the first time in a while that they had signed someone that hadn't previously been with the organization to a massive contract. Like, it was always pretty difficult for the Blue Jays to be able to pick up free agents that hadn't been traded there previously or had never donned a Blue Jays jersey before. And I want to say that Russell Martin was the biggest one at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Springer was the only one that I think that's eclipsed that sense.
Yeah. So it'd be, yeah, I guess so. Right. Cause there was so much downtime in between. So that's something that I'll, by the way, the Blue Jays just lead 2-1. Alejandro Kirk Holtman. Wow, he did something.
Kirk.
Finally did something.
He's been quietly doing something for a week and a half, 2 weeks now. Come on, guy. I'm just saying that because he's my boy.
I know. So when it comes to that, yes, Russell Martin will always be one of those Blue Jays that changed the tide, not just with the contract, but also with the 2015 team and 2016. He was pivotal. One of my long-lasting memories of Russell Martin in a Blue Jays jersey was that I want to say it was 2015. I could be wrong, but I want to say it was 2015 Canada Day when they faced Cleveland, and it was like a 15-16 inning game, and Russell Martin flipped out on the umpire for something, for a bad call, and they lost the game as a result. But it was like it was a super long Canada Day game, and I just remember being pretty hyped about that because Russell Martin, you could tell, was in his feels. And the when they went back to Montreal, I think his dad played the Canadian national anthem on the saxophone, if I'm not mistaken. You could see Russell Martin was tearing up. So those are the things that really pull on the heartstrings with me when it comes to Russell Martin outside of his playing. When it comes to Jay Happ, though, funny enough, and maybe not even funny enough, unfortunate enough, the thing that comes to my mind when I think of Jay Happ right away is when he got beamed in the face with a line drive. I think it was in Tampa. Horrifying. It was in Tampa. Yeah. And this is before he re-signed with the team.
That was his first stint, yes.
Yeah, when he got traded from Seattle, I want to say it was. And I think we traded Eric Thames away for him. Back. Was it Houston?
I can't remember.
Or did we trade him?
Yeah, that's what you were talking. Okay, yeah, so
maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, I remember he just got nailed with the line drive to the face, and everyone
still one of the ones that plays in my head that I can't out.
Yeah, you know? Came back like almost immediately. That to me just showed how much of a grinder he was. And when he re-signed with the team, I remember people were like, "What, Jay Happ? Like, this is not David Price. This is Jay Happ." And he just sort of killed it. Yeah, he just sort of recreated himself and, you know, made himself into a household name, at least in Toronto. So the poise that he showed on the mound and the calmness that he showed was kind of inspiring, especially given the intensity of the 2016 season. So for that, Jay Happ, class act. Great presence in the Blue Jays dugout. There was a time, Craig, I think we had a show that we wish he'd come back.
Maybe we were talking about that even earlier this year, I think.
Yeah.
I need another arm. Get him out of here.
But, you know, he's calling
to that point. He was ready, apparently, to come back. He just finally decided, you know, it's time for me to be with my family, take the next step in my life, rather than, you know, my life after baseball. Had nothing to do with him not wanting to be out there. He just felt it was logical. It was the right thing to do. Move on. So I'll give him all the props in the world for that. And not to mention he's 39. Had an insanely good career. Exactly. Yeah, and to that point, I think he's the baseball kind of guy that he's going to find a way eventually to get back in the game at some point here, whether it's a pitching coach, a coach, whatever it might be. You know what I mean? He just strikes me as that kind of guy, like we were talking about with Russell Martin.
Yeah. I don't think either of them are cut out to be analysts, but definitely coaching material, whether that's a manager or some sort of bench coach role. They both got it in them. So hopefully this isn't the last we see of them in a baseball jersey in some capacity, but shout out to them. Definitely Blue Jays, they are etched in the history of Toronto Blue Jays, especially for those fans that grew up or came of age to the 2015 and 16 seasons.
Yeah. I think it just shows you how well he pitched during his second stint with the Blue Jays, because there was a nickname that me and my dad and a few other Blue Jays fans that called for his first stint, which was J.A. Hapless. Because yeah. We didn't think we had a hope and a prayer sometimes when he was out there pitching, because it didn't let you do what he was doing. But then having the insane career that he did once he rejoined the team and just continued to run through it. This is a guy that pitched 6 years for the Blue Jays. That, mind you, that is the most years he spent with any team. So right. I thought that'd be cool. Went 59-41 as a Blue Jay with a 3.88 ERA. That's pretty hella far from Hapless, like I was saying a minute ago.
Yeah, not bad.
Very, very good as far as a Blue Jays career is concerned. And then he actually got votes for the Cy Young in 2016. Was the sixth place Cy Young guy, Rick Porcello, ended up winning it that year. But to that point, to be in the company with Rick Porcello in an even year, because that's what he does.
Of course.
With Justin Verlander, Corey Kluber in his prime in Cleveland, Zach Britton, and Chris Sale were the guys that finished above him. That's pretty damn good company. And funny enough, he actually beat out his own teammate that year in Aaron Sanchez. So thought that was pretty interesting stuff as far as the career for J-Hap is concerned. Russell Martin, constant professional. There is just, I don't think there's enough good things you can say about him on the baseball field, and then getting to see him play for his home country in Toronto. Like you guys said, that might have been the reason we eclipsed to the talent that we did. Because you guys remember the guys we were running out there at catcher before we had Russell Martin. It was a hope and a prayer that Ken Huckabee, Kevin Cash, J.P. Arencibia, and insert name here would
find Ross, man out. I always remember.
There you go. Or one of my personal go-tos is Charlie O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
So remember that guy. He's the only one that wore the catcher's mask like to begin with, or the hockey mask to begin with. Mm-hmm. Just felt natural, he said. So, but to that point, just wanted to make sure we talked about that just before we dove into some other Blue Jays stuff. And the fact that we all love them and watch them get to take that next stage in their life slash eventual baseball careers, I think is very well in, you know, good luck to them.
Absolutely.
So let's talk current Blue Jays news before we dive into the series that was with the Angels and to where we're going this week while we're talking right now with the game going on. As we just heard, Leander Kirk has put the Blue Jays ahead 2-1. It is still 2-1, even a few minutes after that wonderful home run that he hit. I want to talk about Ryan Borucki being DFA'd today. And where do you think that puts the Blue Jays bullpen? Adam, I'm going to let you run with the fact that, first off, do you think Borucki slips through waivers and somehow lands in Buffalo? And if not, what do we do to fill up what's been a kind of a revolving spot in our bullpen? Do you think Velasquez runs with a job?
I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily think that Borucki is going to get run out of the major leagues. I just don't know that his future is with Toronto. So I'm looking at the stat line right now, and not to, you know, go over and above on ERA, but a 9.95 ERA over 11 appearances is terrible. The dude is just struggling to find the strike zone. The velocity is kind of there. The movement isn't. He's not hitting the zone. It's a little flat. I don't know. He's out of options. So I think there's, given those numbers that I just sort of spit out, that it's likely that he falls through waivers and not many people would probably be interested. But a lot of teams like to reinvent the wheel, and maybe they see something in him and say, you know what, maybe we can fix you, quote unquote. And if that's the case, then good for him. I just don't know that he's earned it, and I don't necessarily think he deserves it. I think an extended period in Buffalo or any minor league team, it would be beneficial to him rather than sticking him out into the major leagues. But the youth is there. The upside's there. So I can definitely see someone being at least entertained to take a chance on him. But I don't think the performance really lends credence to that. So I think it's likely that he'll end up in Buffalo and maybe sporadic call-ups, but I just don't think necessarily that he's even a quadruple A player. I think we've seen what we have to see in Ryan Brucki, and it's unfortunately it's not something that's sold for this team.
Yeah. Jason, you want to weigh in on Brucki staying or going and where your opinion is on how Ryan Brucki's doing at this point?
Brucki's kind of an interesting player. I think when he came up, he was kind of like a tossing lefty that, you know, kind of relied on control, and he was a starter for us in the minor leagues, right? And then
he had actually a few good starts for us right off the bat there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then we converted him into a reliever, and suddenly his ELO is up to 94-95, touching 97, and you know, he had flashes of a good slider, you know, in some outings he genuinely looked like unhittable, you know. He kind of looked like a comp that pitched coming into my head when he was pitching well was he kind of looked like Andrew Miller. And I think for the potential that's there, you know, you don't see a lot of lefties, you know, that throw mid-90s with flashes of a plus slider. And, you know, that's why I don't think that we'll be able to keep him. I think some rebuilding club will probably take him on as a reclamation project, you know, because the upside is there. And, you know, unfortunately, we're kind of in a position where we can't wait for him to figure things out. We can't really wait for a guy like Pete Walker to work with him and, you know, try and build him up back to a position where he's contributing consistently. But he, I was always a big fan, and, you know, just hope he does wherever he lands. Yeah.
Yeah. He was one of the funnest guys I've ever interviewed. I'll give you that. So him and Danny Jansen together were a hoot. So I hope that doesn't hurt his ball too much, knowing his buddy might not be there with him all the time. But then again, he hasn't been there a lot anyway. I'm sorry to say. Yeah. But to that point, I think you guys are right that he's going to get claimed by some guy. This just screams Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Baltimore to me. Or just for them to be dicks, the Rays are going to pick him and make him a fucking ace in their bullpen. Yeah. You know, just
I don't even think he'll get that high. You know, I don't think he'll fall that quickly. I think if you're right, I think it will be one of these lower tier teams that might take the chance. I don't know that he's going to. I don't know that the Rays would actually be interested, but you're right. If the Rays do pick him up, you're right. It's a recipe for them just creating him into a superstar and just steamrolling us.
The biggest thing he has going for him is he's a hard throw lefty. So somebody is going to take the risk on him if we don't, to, you know, somehow hope and manage he slips through waivers. I don't think that's their play. I really don't think that they think he's going to, and they just don't know what to do right now. And to Jason's point, win now. They need somebody that can contribute now. And let's talk about where that goes as far as everything is. And the Blue Jays do have a little bit of urgency going on in their bullpen. We have some guys that are hoping to come in and, you know, maybe do that. And we'll get to the one big name here in a minute. But we have seen little, you know, I'll say surprise pieces from, we had a couple of little outings from Andrew Velasquez. Julian Merriweather's had a couple of throw-in nice ones here and there, and that's kind of what that spot's really been where Brucki would have been. This has been a constant turn of quadruple-A players to what you said, Adam. Do you see anybody that we currently have in that mix that might rise to the top?
I mean, Chris Key did send a tweet to us. Nate Pearson is pitching in AAA Buffalo. I'm just saying.
Can't
this.
Sneak that one there. That's the next topic.
I'm sneaking it in. I want him nowhere near the rotation. And
I agree with you.
He sort of fits in. To me, he's more of a setup guy. And speaking of the devil.
It's like you knew he was coming.
Speaking
his
of.
His ears are burning. Admitting
speaking
one Chris Key to the conversation.
I was just talking about how Ryan Brucki's departure will probably open up a spot for Pearson sooner rather than later.
And don't make me excited right away.
Yeah, we knew you were coming. I made sure I kept the Nate Pearson talk to a minimum for you, Chris.
Holy shit, Brendan got a lot more handsome since he married as well.
Good
I was
times.
Gonna say, Brucki wasn't the setup guy that I think Nate Pearson will be, but yeah.
Nate Pearson's going to be the do-all end-all of the bullpen.
Yeah, he's going to be the guy. he's going to be the guy. He's our Tom Petty saving grace. So I all think right. that so,
seeing somebody's already pushed me, should I just tee him up?
Yeah, tee him up. Go so, ahead. You guys
to your point, Chris Key, we have Nickerson has made a rehab, you know, I'll say start, yes. down in low A with Dunedin. He ended up, of course, the freaking article closed on me. Okay. His first rehab start with the Dunedin Blue Jays, Nate Pearson threw 30 pitches, which went 1 2/3 of an inning. He was touching 95.2 miles an hour to about 97.5 with his fastball. Allows one hit, one earned run, one walk, and records a strikeout in that time frame. He's moving up to Buffalo. We've already officially heard that. Hence, you know, just for other than the reason I needed to have some Buffalo love going on with everything going on in the media and everything. To that point, is he far away, you think, if he's already thrown that many pitches, which is more or less destined for a bullpen spot? Are you they're legit pushing him toward that point where they want him to start?
Who are you gonna take out of the starting rotation?
My worry is that they want to build him up in case somebody gets hurt, and to me, that's what the whole reason you have Ross Stripling. So why are you double dipping?
That's why you have Stripling and Thornton.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Kay and keep going down the list. Yeah. You need
Casey Lawrence.
Right now, you need high velocity, high Ks out of the bullpen. Their number one problem on this team right now, aside from the offense finally starting to get going, is that we have nobody that is swing and miss in the back end of the bullpen besides Romano, and we saw what happened when he threw 3 days in a row. Like, he was barely touching, what, 92, 93?
Gassed, yeah.
Yeah, he had nothing left. You need somebody as a resurgence in the back of that bullpen, and it's going to be Nate Pearson.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Him with Simber, a Romano, like, that's a bullpen. Assuming that the that's stuff nice in the locations there, yeah, assuming that, you know, I have no doubt that the velocity is going to be there. I don't think the velocity was ever a problem for Nate Pearson. Again, no. I think the problem with Nate Pearson was always in between the years. I just think his confidence was shattered every time he came up because this was supposed to be Nate Pearson's spot. But now if he can settle into a bullpen role and accepts that as this is, you know, where I'm supposed to be and the Blue Jays don't fuck with it and force him to be a starter, which they ruined Aaron Sanchez in that same vein. If they just keep him as a bullpen piece, especially the back end of a bullpen piece, I think Nate Pearson's going to thrive. Especially if you're limiting him to like 2-3 innings tops, I think he's going to thrive.
Yeah,
I don't even want him throwing that many. To be honest,
I'd rather 2 tops maybe. But if you're in a pinch, I mean, if he's touching 100, I don't know that 3 innings is even feasible.
No.
Thirty pitches looks pretty solid, I think, as a bullpen out for him. Yeah. So, Jason, what are you thinking?
Firstly, to address the kind of, you know, who replaced Brook, I think, you know, whether it's a lefty or not, I do think we have to go outside the organization and trade for another big arm. Like, I don't think that with the arms that we have in the organization right now, we're set up to make a deep run in the playoffs. You know, especially with a guy like Merriweather struggling, you know, I thought that he would be a big bullpen piece for us, you know, at the beginning of, I think, last season. You know, he looked borderline untouchable. And then, you know, they went down hard on the sticky substance. And then, you know, his velo was down, you know, his spin rates plummeted. So, you know, he doesn't really look like a feasible candidate for a set or anything like that. So, you know, I do think that we have to go outside the organization and, you know, spend prospect capital, you know, if we're serious about, you know,
or at least catching capital,
which we should be. yeah, there's also a couple of guys in, you know, in AAA that are doing well, but, you know, it's hard to know how well those stats are going to translate into major league success. You know, and I completely agree with Adam and, you know, with Chris that Nate Pearson could be a guy for us, you know. I kind of, you know, with Nate Pearson, it's interesting. I'm in between him as a starter and as bullpen piece. And I think my solution to that, you know, was, you know, maybe what if we use him as a 2 or 3 inning opener in front of a guy like Ryu who can't go more than 4 or 5 innings, you know, and kind of piggyback them together. But if you know, he's successful in the back of the bullpen, it's definitely more valuable, in my opinion, than using him as an opener. So I completely agree. If Nate Pearson is looking filthy in AAA, then, you know, we call him up and see what he can do in the major leagues.
Yeah. And to your point, there are all the guys that random insert name here in the Blue Jays minor league system. So I think there's some upside to a lot of those guys, but there's a few of them that are a little bit away. Am I really banking on the fact that Jeremy Beasley right now might be a good bullpen piece coming out of the minor leagues? No.
Thomas
Hatch hasn't been solid. Go ahead.
Yeah, an interesting name to keep an eye on is, I really like him. I think Yasir Zulueta could be a big piece for us, definitely in the future, but even now, he's touching triple digits. And I don't know if you guys saw the short clip, the video clip that was kind of trending on Twitter of his slider. And, you know, that looks like a major league pitch as well. So, you know, maybe we fast track a guy like Yasir Zulueta to the big leagues to use him as a bullpen piece, and then, you know, get him some experience. If he does well, you know, then keep him in that role. But if he doesn't, you know, it doesn't hurt to send him back to Vancouver, wherever he is right now. So, you know, that's just
I think it's Vancouver. No, I think he might be, yeah, I think he got promoted to Vancouver.
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty big jump. But yeah. I'm good with it. Yeah. If he's hitting triple digits, I don't think it matters where you throw the ball, as long as you're not hitting guys.
And he's been always scouted as having 2+ pitches, to Jason's point, too. So it's not – that plays well out of the bullpen. You're not going to get Elvis Luciano or what, you know, in that situation. To your point, Jason, that isn't a bad idea. I always forget that we have him because he is that far down, but he's been always somebody that's impressed me. So, but to that point, that's still in that same vein of getting somebody like Pearson back. You're hoping for the best. And if you're going to that offer,
have a massive spring. Was it this spring or last year?
Last spring. And last then he got spring. An injury.
That's right. Okay.
I think it was Tommy John. I think he had Tommy John.
Ooh. Yeah.
But to see that he's bounced back from that as officially
first of all, that'd be an amazing storyline if they did bring him up at any point. He's just recovered from that, but that does make me a little bit nervous that you probably want him to have a little bit of mileage before coming up. But if he is, like you said, if he's throwing that hard, bring him up and see what the kid can do.
Yeah. Right, Ben Wyman, our buddy off the show, is also saying that Velasquez can fill that hole, but he doesn't sound too excited about it. He's got talent and upside. I agree with that, so that it would be interesting. But he also says he doesn't want Pearson anywhere near the rotation or 100+ pitches.
I agree. He's not built for that, man. Like, he's just not. He's all gas, right? And I don't know. I mean, his injury history is kind of fickle. Like, I think the first time he got hurt, it was either a fingernail or he broke his finger or something. And
we got hit in the shin or whatever, and
that's what it was, yeah.
Was it 2021? Was it a hernia?
That's what it was last year, yes.
Yeah, okay. So,
and that was why he couldn't ever feel like he was landing right, and the million one other things are messing with his mechanics. So if that's cleared up and he's back to normal, the mono's passed him, he's back up to full strength and all that kind of stuff, I think he's fast-tracked at this point. And he's definitely the guy Blue Jays are looking to, outside of where Jason was going, because we do have the capital to actually trade for somebody, bam, you know, just come in and plug him right into that late-inning role with Garcia and company and watch it all play out properly, right?
Well, have, like, another Simber.
Barucki being DFA, they've replaced him with Thornton, but I don't see Thornton becoming a long-term solution. And Merriweather is just hanging by a thread. I don't know if you guys got to that point, but, like,
no,
you cannot put Merriweather on that mound unless you're up or down 6+ runs.
Yeah.
Like, you can't put him out there anymore.
You saw what he did against St. Louis that one night. He almost coughed it up and then
You've seen what he's done almost every time he's gone out there this year. It's been bad.
The velocity is there, but the fact that he's just laying the velocity right down the middle, it's never going to get him anywhere. He's got to find a way to get that thing to tail or something. Mm-hmm. It screams early Roy Halladay to me. Like, he's got to get that different arm slot or something to get the torque on the baseball going in a different direction before he'll actually be something positive. Where right now he's dancing in the line of quadruple A player with plus stuff, very intriguing plus stuff. I'll give you that. But what's the next step for somebody like Merriweather? How long is it?
Yeah, I don't even think the stuff is plus. Like I said, you know, it was plus. You know, it was 99, 100 with crazy spin rates. And then the sticky stuff ban hit, and he's, what, 96, 97 with, like, a 200, 300 drop in RPM. Like, it's still
it's good. Obvious.
Like, Jason with the allegations.
He's
in the Savant page.
Jason's more than 100% right on that, because he looked like the second coming of Jesus. In that first series against
the Yankees,
he looked absolutely unhittable. You have him and Romano, and like coming out of that series, you could say that Merriweather looked like he was going to be the closer for the rest of the year until he got hurt.
Yes.
The Yankees announcers were even saying that during the freaking broadcast, because that's what I get to watch. Yeah,
they were going bananas about it, and rightfully so, because he was unbelievable. And like you said, the sticky stuff ban comes through, and completely different guy.
Yeah.
Completely different guy.
And regardless of how everything shakes out here, let's say you do get Pearson in and he starts throwing gas and has any moderate amount of success. You have now him, Romano, Simber, and Garcia that are just kind of in that, like, we're just going to go out here and gas you. Take it or leave it. We know how to get you out. I know Simber's not throwing anybody.
I was going to say, Simber's not gassing
but
anybody.
He knows how to get people out. All right?
Yes,
lock
yes.
it out.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Let's say one of those guys ends up slipping. Like, we have Romano going the other day that clearly looked overworked, rough. The accuracy was they were hopping 2 miles an hour off his fastball. You get to now run that with this whole thing that you've got these other options that you can now tinker with and get him that extra day off and whatnot. But right now with that revolving door at that one position in our bullpen, it's eating away at it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So right now that's got to be, I can't say area of mission critical concern, but they need to be shopping around for a piece that if they want to just blitz through all everybody on this and get to the World Series. So, Jason's point, that's the difference between an elite team and where we're at.
How many teams are eager, though, right now? Is this something that, I don't even know if that's available for us, right? Something that is as lights out as what we're thinking we need in the bullpen? I don't know that that's necessarily available at this moment. I think teams that are, maybe you can coax Washington. I think teams that are, you know, clearly not in it right now are going to wait to the deadline to leverage their asking price.
Right. Everybody's looking for bullpen help.
Yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
All righty. So, fellas, I want to start talking about last week. Since our last recording, the Blue Jays have had Brana going to 6 in a row tonight. Was that correct? Or is it 5?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They've
won 5 in a row and 7 of their last 10.
There you go. So the Blue Jays have obviously been trending up, but until this past weekend, it really did not feel like we had a reason to be trending in the right direction, I think, was the kind of takeaway that I was feeling anyways. And we've talked about it at numerous lengths as what is going to finally ignite this offense. And apparently it was just a, you know, trip to the
podcast.
City Fallen Angels and have a little time out on the Sun Strip and or visit Disneyland. I don't know if what the fuck it was, but the team won that last game against the Cardinals on a high note, 8-1. Very impressive win. They take the day off, land that evening, actually, a game, enjoy being in L.A., come out, and that series against the Angels was nothing short of, like, a slugfest / onslaught of offense and back-and-forth nonsense.
Teoscar almost just got hit in the head.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. After they didn't like him hitting that double in the first inning, apparently. Is he all right?
Yeah, he's good. He didn't get hit. Okay. It was, like, very close, though.
Buzz the Tower to your I just went and saw Top Gun references.
It was very close. He almost swung into it.
So the Blue Jays end up winning the first game 6-3, win the second 4-3, 6-5 on Saturday, and then had the back-and-forth ridiculousness that was Sunday of 11-10 victory. guys, is this the sign that the offense is finally ticking in the right direction? Because it wasn't really any one player standing out the whole weekend. It was just the right pieces happening at the right time. Jason, give us your two cents on if you think the offense is trending in the right direction after that, or you think this is more what we're going to be seeing from now on.
Trending in the right direction, I think, yes. You know, you can't ignore, you know, the 8-run game that we put against St. Louis, and then, you know, our defensive showing for four games, really, in L.A. against good pitching, too. You know, we hit off of Shohei Ohtani, and then we also hit off of Michael Lorenzen and Patrick Sandoval. All three are really quality MLB pitchers, you know, so we are trending in the right direction. I am still worried about whether we can consistently produce this kind of offensive output, simply because, you know, Vladdy still looks like he's struggling a little bit, and he's such a big part of the offense. Same goes for Teoscar Hernandez, you know, and if those two guys are still struggling, I think, you know, when you're 3-4 hitters, you know, aren't doing well, I think, you know, we always have to be a little bit concerned for our offense. And once those guys start to kind of find their groove, and then, you know, George Springer keeps doing what he's doing at the top of the lineup, and then, you know, our catchers have been unbelievable. I think, you know, I saw a tweet earlier today that the our catchers have a collective WRC plus of like 124 or something, and then the rest of the league is at like 80 or something like that, and that's crazy, you know. And you know, that's it's amazing. And you know, our bottom of the lineup has been contributing as well. So, you know, it's definitely, we're heading in the right direction. I just really hope that, you know, we can get a little bit more offensive production from our bigger bats like Vladdy and Teo, for things to finally really click.
Yeah, and that we're close but no cigar yet.
Exactly.
Chris, seeing you just joined, where are you thinking we're at after this past week?
I'm not convinced that this is anything that's going to be sustainable, as hopefully I am. I think you have to show me probably, maybe 2 weeks or so of real good, solid offense before I'm really going to start believing in it. Great things for here's two things really encouraging from the weekend on the offensive side. Alejandro Kirk looked really good this weekend. He was hitting the ball well, running the base as well. And Lourdes Gurriel could be just on the tip of the iceberg going on one of his classic heaters that really lengthens this lineup. Yeah, exactly.
And he's not a heater. He can almost carry the offense. It's kind of nuts.
He can almost carry it very, very quietly, because he's been damn near a 300 hitter fairly consistently and fairly quietly. I feel like he always kind of gets glossed over in this lineup. But he had, what, on Sunday, 5 RBI. I know people don't like RBIs, but the 5 RBIs with a few hits and a couple of walks.
Chris, when you can't get RBIs, we love RBIs.
Yeah, that's something to get excited about, because that means he's really starting to see the ball better, and he can really lengthen the lineup when guys like Guerrero. Guerrero's really are we almost at the point of having a discussion about Vlad?
We're going to get to talking with him. If you want to jump into that, I was just going to rattle your point off here to the fact that over the last 7 games, Alejandro Kirk has been .556. That's 5.9 at-bats. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has got 5 for 13, so he's batting .385, but he has 6 RBIs in that span. Does anybody want to take a wild guess who the other guy is that's batting over .300 in the last 3 games? Or 7 games, I mean?
No.
Not far off, but he's pretty close.
I was going to say, was it Biggio?
Chapman's just below. No.
Down enough games, 7 games.
No.
1,
Bobichette.
Oh, Bo. I misheard you. I thought you meant from this past weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, oh, I take that back. It was not 7 games. It was last 7 days. Sorry. Dump stat
sure.
sheet.
sure, yeah.
So, but to that point, Bobichette went 7 for 19 in that series, too. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty impressive. And talk about who's right behind him. Biggio had a pretty surprisingly good series in his 11 bats, got 3 hits. Scored 3 runs. Were you expecting him to do that when he got called up 5 seconds ago again?
What's that supposed to mean? Surprisingly. No, it seems
and
right
Crush
on one.
Monday here. So
it seems accurate. It seems normal.
Yeah. Chapman actually batted 286 in those games and showed some offense. So maybe there was enough right here. Oddly enough, you mentioned we're going to talk Vladdy, and we'll go there now. He went 2 for 12. One of those was a home run. The other was a double. But just saying. Two RBIs for him. Three strikeouts, which is not anywhere near as bad as Bo Bichette and Kevin Biggio having five each. So, but yeah, are you thinking that some of the pop has finally returned to that bat, or are you, what are you thinking, Christine? You wanted to talk Vladdy.
I don't know. I
he done tonight?
It's getting to be frustrating watching him almost, because like, was last year an anomaly?
I don't know that it was an anomaly. I was trying to figure him out.
Yeah. But, like, now he's starting to trend of what he was the first 2 years, mm-hmm. which scares me a little bit.
Year.
Yeah, like, which kind of scares me.
My biggest thing, I think, with him is the fact that he hasn't had a consistent bat behind him. And with how abysmal this lineup has been, I would be curious to see what his Savant page says about how many good strikes he's actually been getting to hit.
The great hitters overcome that.
Correct. Yeah.
The great hitters
over
that.
Times Mike, also Mike, haven't Mike done Trout, that in shifts.
Mike Trout has never had anybody behind him.
I'll give you that, but also people aren't gods like frickin' Mike Trout.
We're told the Guerrero is, though.
Advertised as such. Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just
to
told say, that Guerrero is. We're told that
he
is.
Did you see what Trout did to his child the other day? With the bat flip and everything. Yeah, have you seen that video yet? Basically, his kid threw him a little, you know, his kid's got to be like five or something. Right? They throw the ball right down the strike zone with a bat that's about this long. Trout savages it, hits it down the hallway in his house, bat flip, and he goes, yes, son, and walks yeah. around. Like he's yeah. just rounding the bases. His son's cheering for him and everything.
Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to shit all over Vlad. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. Like, I want him to do well, and I want him to regain his form from last year. But, like,
Maybe there's
something more going on. Because, like, look at Marcus Semien. Marcus Semien had, what, 43 home runs and was hitting like a machine last year, and he fucked hit his first one this past week. Like, maybe there's something going on. But, like, the transfer Guerrero just... They're concerning to me, considering all the talk this offseason. Like, how are we going to extend him? What's the dollar figure? Is it... $400 million? Is it $500 million? What is it going to be to lock this guy up for 10, 12 years? It's like, when I start seeing this, I don't want to say regression. Like, there's no way to say it with shitting on him because it sucks. But like,
well, like you said, he was doing well. So anything bad yeah. minus that is a rough yeah. spot.
But like, there's no way in hell that I want to pay a guy anywhere close to $30 to $35 or $40 million a year to hit 250. Like, it just can't happen. Like,
and there's
if
no one
he,
on
the, if,
this team that you would want to do that for.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
Because if you're talking not doing that, then you're not talking doing that for Bo. Obviously, Tay Oscar's not doing that for you.
You're not.
Chapman
hasn't
been hitting his weight until this last week.
No.
So, anyway, Adam, Jason, which one do you want to dive into that grenade that Chris just pulled the pin on?
Well, hold on, Chris. It's more to say. Where do you want to go with this? It sounds like you're reluctantly trying not to shit on him, but please just shit on him. It's fine.
No, I'm not. As it stands right now, I'm gonna get roasted for this. I would give Bo more than Vlad.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even give Bo that money.
No, I wouldn't give him that. But I would give him more money than Guerrero right now. And that's not. And it's not. They both have similar sample sizes.
But to that point, if sample size go in overall performance, they're probably at a level at this point, a minimum, right? Because you got the monster season and Bo being Bo.
Yeah, but Bo's a lot more consistent. He's shown that he's been more consistent.
Yeah, but he's consistently...
Like, he strikes out a lot.
He's consistently good, Bo, but he's not... Fantastic. He's not a superstar right now.
Neither is Guerrero right now.
I understand that, but I rather bank on the feeling of Guerrero being a superstar than Bo.
Which is completely fine. And like I hope he gets back to what he was last year. Like I really hope he does. I'm very concerned that this is who he is. And last year was going to be an outlier, which like let's throw buzzers and warning signs out there. I hope that doesn't happen.
Sure, yeah.
And I very much hope that I'm wrong. Like, I want him to do well, and I want him to be this amazing prodigy that carries us to the promised land. But, like,
is it going to happen is your question.
It's right hard now. To believe it. It's hard to believe Listen, in it right now.
All the middle-aged Blue Jays moms are fucking... They're loving you for wanting to pay Bo more than...
Yeah. and it's not well, even that I want to. It's just
if you had to pay somebody.
If
right
I
now,
had to pay one right. of them right now, I'd probably give it to Bo. But
yeah, I get it. I'm with you. But I think that when you see the raw talent that we've seen in Vladdy throughout his tenure, as just
not disagreeing. None? Yeah. Oh, not okay. No. Not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, you just can't give up on that talent. And look, all this is going to be moot anyway when the Blue Jays trade for Soto and they're going to make him the highest paid yeah. player. It's all going to be a moot point anyway. So,
exactly.
Like, you know,
I love playing fantasy baseball. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Look, am I concerned, Vladdy? I'm not necessarily concerned. And I think, Chris, if I'm reading the tea leaves, I think I'm just annoyed by it because,
That could be it.
Yeah, he's not getting anything to hit, and we just because of the namesake that he's going to be able to hit things that are completely outside of the zone where we have to understand that he's not his dad. So that's
because
not
his dad
necessarily
played with a freaking boat war and could hit everything.
Yeah, not necessarily what's happening with Junior here. So
yeah.
I think the pitchers in you know that are facing him, their remedy to beat him is to just pitch it outside and hopefully he just whiffs or. You know, throw him a bunch of breaking pitches and sliders and hopefully he swings at him or hopefully that he lays off and just catch the outside of the zone. So I think that's what's going on, but eventually he's going to have to make an adjustment. And that's where you're going to have to bank on the talent and the ability to be able to first of all, pick pitches that you know are outside of the zone and being able to adjust your swing to make contact with them effectively. I'm hoping he's going to be able to do that, and I trust the talent for him to be able to do that. Again, calling back to last week, I don't know that I trust the pitching coach to do that. I mean, sorry, the hitting coach to be able to do that. Yeah, but that's another conversation that we've already had. I'm just banking on it, and I also don't think that we have to really – not that this is where you were going. I don't necessarily think we have to worry about a contract right now because I don't think he's going to get it after season. I don't think he's earned
it. Unless he all of a sudden's an MVP again.
Yeah, but again, so far, up until, what is it, May 31st, I don't think he's earned it. Like when we were talking last year, before he first started taking full-time reps at first base, I said, you have to earn your third base spot, bro. Like, you have not earned that. And, you know, the first two seasons in there, he didn't earn it. And when he went to first, last year spoke for himself. And so far this year, you have earned that right. You are the first baseman, period. So you got to earn this contract. And right now, up until this point, you can talk all you want about last year, but that was then. What have you done for me lately? Recency bias is a thing when it comes to contracts. Show me what you got. Yeah. Sorry.
There you go. So, Jason, you got anything you want to add?
Talk some sense into it.
Other than the fact that I'm not know if I'm drinking either of these guys' Kool-Aid because I just know what's going to happen with Vlad eventually.
Listen, yeah, Chris and I are the quintessential heels of the show, okay? So yes. Please.
It's your wrestler turn in, all right? Come back to the light.
I honestly think Vlad's just in a period of adjustment. You know, if you look at his struggles in his first year and then this year, the underlying reason is very similar. He's hitting the ball hard, but he's hitting the ball hard into the ground. Now, if you look at the underlying reason behind the underlying reason, I think those two are also, you know, in his first year, while he struggled, he was just out of shape. You know, he was overweight. He did some weird things with his swing, and he just couldn't handle major league, not even pitching, just Major League Baseball. You know, he couldn't handle the rigors and the struggles that Major League Baseball requires. And then he adjusted. He put in a lot of work in the offseason. He got into shape. He made the move from third base to first base. And then, you know, he had that MVP caliber last year. And then this year, he's back to hitting the ball on the ground again. But he's still in shape. He's still playing good defense at first. The problem now is he's just swinging at way too many pitches low and low. And he's not putting that in the air. You know, he just has to make that adjustment of, A, you know, can you put those low pitches in the air? And B, if you can't, can you let them go and then for your pitch? Yeah. And, you know, it's just a period of adjustment. That's not going to happen overnight. And I, too, agree with Adam that I don't think our hitting coach is helping either. You know,
we all
so
wanted
maybe
to fire him last week, and I still haven't taken position.
Yeah, you know, so I honestly think it takes, you know, it could be even just someone with experience. You know, I'm not saying that Dante Bichette is going to fix Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but, you know, maybe just having a sit-down conversation. You know, try to change the way that you're attacking pitchers and, you know, the way that you are going about at bats, even, you know, the psychology behind it, right? You know, that small little thing, because the talent is still there. Like, he's still hitting the ball like crazy hard. And, you know, if he makes that slight adjustment where he's hitting the ball in the air, you know, then you're back to an MVP candidate. And, you know, I that's why I would lean towards agreeing with Adam that I would kind of, if I had to throw the money at Vladdy, because that we know the ceiling, and you know the floor isn't bad. You know, he's not playing great, but he's still the WRC plus, what is it, 110, 120? It's still pretty good. And then when he struggles, it's different. Like, he just looks lost, right? He can't make contact at all. You know, he's swinging at some weird pitches way out of the zone. And, you know, his floor is lower, and I also think his ceiling is lower. It's just that maybe because we don't have the expectation that we have for Vladdy, it just seems like he's playing a little better than Vladdy, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I agree with you guys, but to the point of where I think you guys were starting to head in, the fact that I still have all the confidence in the world in him. There's plenty of guys on this roster that I'm losing confidence with, and Vlad is one that's not even waving my flag to that whole thing. So I don't think anybody right now deserves a contract until this offense for this season proves something, whether that's finally the hitting coach situation sorts its philosophy out, whether that's with a current guy or a new guy. I'll give you 50-50, but I think Vlad is eventually going to be just fine. It might not be as gaudy of a numbers as last season, but this is a guy, in my opinion, that is a round 300 hitter, hits 40 home runs every season like his dad does, and is somewhere in the 100 RBI ballpark. Is it so bad that he ends up being Carlos Delgado in the stat column for us? There's no issue with that all day, every day, and I'm paying that man, just saying. And I think Carlos Delgado is still his basement, because he's going to play better defense than Delgado, I think, regardless. But just to be that guy,
you need a lot more from Guerrero if you're going to compare him to Delgado.
I'm not saying right now. Saying, I think that's where his normal season will look very eerily similar.
I don't know that I want
like,
to
I think last year was... Year? What was that?
Didn't Delgado hit like 360 one year?
Yes. 350. That was the year they should have won. 350 won the one year that he should have beaten A-Rod for the fucking MVP. Oh, sorry. Did I say that?
No. You're not wrong.
So
look, the beautiful thing about this is that you don't have to pay anyone.
No.
You don't need to give anyone a contract extension now or in the offseason. You don't have to. The same core
You got a couple more years.
Are coming back. Yeah, they're coming back. Yeah. The only person that you have to really wait on is, I think, Lourdes has one more year, and Teoscar one after this. So, like, that's a 2024 problem. Don't worry about it now.
Exactly.
Now, you know, to just play around
about Ryu and all that kind of thing, too.
Yeah. Just to jump back when Dante's name came up, because I know I sent this to you guys, but at the letters this week, BNS and Arden Swelling, had mentioned, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, that they were talking about the Dante Bichette thing, and they were talking that if there was outside help available to this team, the team would never refuse it.
I thought it was probably hilarious. You Otherwise, why did you castrate Jesse Barfield?
Yeah, why is Barfield not talking to anyone anymore? So, very interesting.
Yeah, that seemed like a
very, very
politically correct route.
Yeah,
of,
it's PR. That's PR.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very interesting.
Chris, did you hear Jason, I don't know how much you mentioned. Sorry, Chris. I'll let you get your 2 cents in here before I ask this question.
Oh, no, it was Jason that was going to say something.
Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Does anyone know the qualifications that Guillermo Martinez has? Like, when he got hired, I think he was, the youngest hitting coach. But, like, what did he do? Like, I feel bad kind of roasting the guy.
Why?
Now that the success isn't there. But, why do we hire him? Like, is there anything special there?
At the time, I remember comparing it to Carlos Tosca, who was the Blue Jays manager that never managed or played a Major League Baseball game. So, I'll give you that.
Does he have a connection with our organization even before that, though?
That was a thread I couldn't pull.
If it's the Guillermo Martinez that I just found Baseball Reference,
he's been in the system since 2012 with the Jays as a coach.
Yeah, and he didn't.
So he's wearing his way up then.
If it's the same, one, he played little A, high level A, single A,
lots of
high
A.
level A, and then independent league.
So, but to that point, maybe he's one of those people that can
double A.
Yeah.
So like he didn't play anything worth noting.
Hey kids, it's Reese McGuire.
So
sorry.
Oh, yeah.
If that is the same person, I can do a Google search just to confirm, and you guys can carry on.
Where I was going to go, because Adam and I were on the show last week. Chris, you were out for fun reasons with your kids' baseball. Is that what it was? Can't remember.
Last week.
Last week? No, I was here.
No,
last
Chris
week.
Was here.
He was Chris here. Was. I'll present this question to Jason. Brennan wasn't here.
That was the right same. Now, the same Guillermo Martinez. So
yeah, there you go. Jason, last week we were talking, if you're not talking Bichette, Barfield, or anything, I presented the idea that Buffalo Bison's current hitting coach is ex-Brewers slugger Corey Hart. He had a few good seasons with the Brewers and bounced around a lot, that I would hope that he would be somewhere in the conversation, especially with the Bison's actually playing well this year. What do you think of a move like that if we go to somebody else out of that group, other than the people we were just talking about?
My opinion is, I don't know how much the hitting coach matters. And so,
they're major league players.
It does matter. I was a good tweet by, I think his name's Gideon. It's Wins and Flosses on Twitter. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And he's like, if the hitting coach matters, then it makes sense to fire Guillermo Martinez because the results aren't there. If the hitting coach doesn't matter, then it also doesn't hurt to fire Guillermo Martinez and give the hitters a fresh perspective. Just because, like we said, the hitting coach doesn't matter. There's no downside to really firing Guillermo Martinez, and there's only upside, I don't know. I wonder if this is even being internally discussed at all. Like, it sucks that we don't know whether his name has come up in front office talks, because it does seem that this front office is kind of hesitant when it comes to kind of big coaching switches like that. So, I mean, I don't know. It's definitely something to consider if the hitters keep struggling, in my opinion.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. Yeah.
I hope it's being discussed. If they're not discussing it, they're not doing their job. Yeah, they're not doing their job if they're not. You got to look at the data. You got to look at the numbers that are in front of you. If they're not talking about it, at least discussing it and bringing it up as an option, then they're not doing their job. And this front office has been too sound for me to believe that hasn't been discussed. But to your point, Jason, I do think that there is an aspect of, does it really matter? Well, I mean, I think on average, when you look at it across the board in the landscape of the MLB? Probably not. But I think there are anomalies where it does.
It could be the difference in the world, and you don't know it yet.
Yeah, it's just a little tweak. And again, I don't want to just call back to Dante, but I called back to something last week during the last half of September where Dante came up, and that's when they went on a tear. Now, could it have just been a coincidence? Sure, it could have been, but why not find out for sure? And again, this goes into rumors of vaccination sex, and I don't have to retell that story, but
they hit in 2020 when he was around as well.
Yeah, he's doing something.
This is an organization that hasn't feared that in the past, so it's kind of odd.
Just be a communication thing, right? It could just be like he knows how to communicate with these kids because one of them is his, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I'm just grasping at straws. But to me, if you have the talent of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and Chris, to your point, I'm going to echo this. Like, he was sold to us as the next god of baseball, him being Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Okay, mm-hmm. if you think, and which we all do, that he's that talented, you can't waste it because you're afraid to fire a coach that's been in the organization for it. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. Yeah. You need to produce and you need to win a World Series. Not, I don't care about people's feelings at this point. You got to win games, period.
Does anybody have any nails they'd like to drive into that coffin any further before we move on?
in fear of upsetting Adam further.
No.
It's about to be a desk slip. So, yeah. Anyway, guys, I want to wrap it up because we are around the hour mark here, and I want to talk where we are right now. With the Blue Jays are currently in the top of the fifth inning, winning 2-1 with a runner on third for the White Sox right now, and unfortunately that guy is freaking Reese McGuire that just somehow got a single. But we got a few games here with the White Sox, then we get to have
Twins?
Minnesota Twins coming into town. So
No Carrera.
But tomorrow night we are going to have...
There's a bunch of Twins apparently that aren't coming north.
Yeah.
By the way, 2-2 game.
Damn it. Damn Reese McGuire. So tomorrow night we're going to have Ryu versus Kopech, who is one of the crazier, young, talented arms in baseball. Very high upside. Hasn't really put it all together, but still very intriguing young arm. Very similar to the mold we just saw last week with Hunter Green. So there's your guys up for that. And then we are going to finish the series with the Blue Jays with Alek Manoah on the mound against the infinite, ageless, that is Johnny Cueto, apparently, who is putting together another good season for the White Sox and is feels like billionth year in baseball. Yeah. So where do you go? I'm going to let our guest Jason run with the fact here of starting this off here. How do you think the rest of the series is going to go with the White Sox? What are you thinking record-wise here for those three games against the White Sox?
I hope we win two, and obviously a sweep would be amazing. Like the game tomorrow is going to be tough just because we don't know what we're going to get from Ryu. And the White Sox, if I remember correctly, torched Ryu at home last year. And Michael Kopech's been absolutely filthy this year. I think Michael Kopech, maybe behind Phil Cease, might be having the best season in this White Sox rotation. So if we somehow manage to win tomorrow and we win today, I like our chances of the sweep on Thursday. No, on the mound. Yep. But against these AL Central opponents, if we go 2 out of 3 against the Sox, against the Twins, and then 3 out of 3 against the Royals, I think that's a realistic but also best-case scenario.
Yeah. Good deal. See, now you're fun into Brennan's pick for click spot here. That's your part for that. Chris, what do you think we're going to be doing for the White Sox series, and how do you think this is going to go?
2-1.
2-1?
2-1. Any, don't know how it's going to happen. Don't have any clue how it's going to get there, but they just need to. You got to keep pace with everybody else ahead of you right now, and you got to try to separate from the Angels.
There you go. Which was fun. That was a little bit of separation we created over the weekend here with the sweep.
Just a little. So, need more.
Mr. Corsair, what do you think?
Put on the gas.
2-1, I agree. I don't know which of the two they're going to win tonight or tomorrow, but Thursday, Manoah's going to win us that game. So I'm going to say 2-1. I'd like to think they'll win tonight. They'll pull it out. But, yeah, 2-1. This is where the Blue Jays schedule gets a little light. I know the Twins are winning their division, but this is if the amount of players that matter aren't going to be with Minnesota crossing the border, Blue Jays got to take advantage, especially with the series against the Royals and the Tigers. I don't want to go too far ahead, but they got a pretty soft schedule coming up. And then Baltimore, fuck, man, win those games. Win those games.
Kansas City, too. There you go. So I'm gonna also echo the 2-1 thing, as much as I don't want to just copy everybody, but I'm
sure
in firm belief that our biggest game I honestly am wondering if Kopech's going to come out and Verlander us tomorrow. I really, watching his last two, that kid is, I knew he was filthy to begin with. He's clearly figured out that next step to his game. Because this is a guy that was in the bullpen in and out last season for the White Sox. Just downright filthy stuff out of the bullpen. And now he's figured out that next pitch to his game to be more than just the two-pitch guy. And it's popping off for him right now is the best way of saying it. Through 38 innings, he's got a sub-1 whip in the last seven games he's pitched. Very impressive, and I just think that's going to be a hard game for us to win, especially with the offense being very... We might be on a hot trend right now. He might be the one to extinguish this current flame for at least a game. So I think it's going to be 2-1 for the Blue Jays, and I'll go back on Warren here. I think we're going to do that same thing to the Twins, and I find it hard-pressed to what you are all saying. We're going to get a start from Berríos. We're going to get a start from Gausman out of that series, and more than likely would be, I would think, Ryu probably for that third game with the way it's currently lining up. Run with that statement.
So it's
No, Kikuchi would be in there.
Kikuchi would be the other Kikuchi one. That's what it was. I was blanking on it.
Jays are down 3-2 now.
Son of a bitch. Yep. I'm losing already. So, anyways, Adam, what do you think for the Minnesota series? And do you think anybody, what do you think is going on there? It's not our home series. Sweep. Boom. There it is. So Mr. Adam with three. Is a three-game series, right?
Yeah.
Well, look at it.
Yes.
So Pereira's not going to play. He's at least not playing the first game. I don't think they're going to bring him up at all, because you guys, Chris and Jason, you would know better than I would about Canada's restrictions when it comes to people that have COVID. I don't know how long he'll be quarantined or COVID-free for, but he's COVID positive right now. He's definitely going to miss Friday. And Chris, you said there's rumors that there's going to be quite a few players. At least another one is going to be of substantial value. I'm saying it's a sweep.
Watch it be Buxton. It'd be rough.
Yeah, dude, take advantage. It's going to be a sweep.
There you go. Chris, what are you thinking?
2-1 again.
2-1 again?
Zero faith in Berríos right now.
Yeah, he's been very ups and downs. I just have a strange feeling he's going to take advantage of his old team.
Hopefully, but hopefully they don't embarrass him.
Mr. Lee, what are you thinking?
God. Yeah, I think I said 2-1 before. I don't know. Berríos,
that's right, you did.
He pitched well at home, hasn't he? I think.
Not game one.
Just the opener.
not game one. Not game
We're
one.
We're all right, ready with that one. It's like, chalk it up. So,
yeah, he's interesting.
Yeah.
I hope he bounces back. 2-1, though.
So, we got to ask, and I'm going to use Jason as our deciding point here for last week's picks to click. As far as who was the Blue Jays standout here, I think I already know who it was. I had Vlad, who had, like I said, batted .150 last week. Chris, you had Real Jr. Adam, you had Santiago Espinal. And then we had the Ryu write-in candidate for Brendan, because, this is his boy. So,
it wasn't really.
I'm pretty sure, looking at those stats that I was looking at earlier, that, Gurriel had 6 RBIs and was batting .386, so I don't know how I can steer past that.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Key, you are now on the board again. So to run down the scores, it's Chris and Adam both have 3 wins apiece. Brendan and I bring it up the rear with 1 win each. So, Chris, I'm going to let you go first because you won.
Okay. Is there anything in the rules that I can't choose Gurriel again?
So that's the one rule that we like to have, is no consecutive
Son
pick of weeks.
Bitch.
and just for your prep, Jason, I'm going to let you pick Brendan's pick.
Uh, Well, now I got to think because I wanted. Fuck it, I'll go with
shucks.
Bo. I'll go with Bo.
Bo flow for Chris in week 9. So, all right, Jason. Are we going into our win-wins here? Because Adam, you
no,
went to that.
Just,
go ahead, let Jason go. All right. Yeah. Jason, let's see if you can put Brendan a winner.
Usually a hitter?
It can be a
pitcher.
It
tends to be more winning on the hitter side, but if it's a guy that's going to pitch twice, we have been in finding those as pick wins for better ease.
Yeah. If you get two good starts in a row, then your goal.
It's hard to beat with an offensive guy when you got a guy that pitches 12 innings and doesn't give up a hit or anything.
Yeah. Is Alec going to pitch twice? I feel like he might.
He pitched Friday, right? So he pitched Friday. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Thursday, and then 1, 2, 3. No.
No.
Just missed it. He'd be the first.
I'll go with Teoscar Hernandez. I have a good feeling that Tio's going to break out.
He had a double tonight already, so moving on up. All right, Adam, I'll let you go first because I picked the short straw for hosting this week, apparently.
Sure. So Gos pitching tonight. He's already given up 3, so I'm not picking up him.
Yeah, he would have been the double guy.
Yeah, he would. I think he's pitching again on Sunday, so...
for it
right now the only I'm not gonna go there.
Hey Kirk, you already have a 2-run home run.
I know, that's why I was thinking.
But I like the fact that you and I are tied, Chris, so I want to take a lead, so I'm gonna go Springer just to play it safe.
Yeah, I was gonna go Springer if I didn't take Bo.
Yeah
I'm gonna be this weird Matt Chapman.
Yeah, he was close too because
he's had some hard liners.
Breakouts coming.
Just close. It can't not. Yeah. It's just if it's not this week, it's gonna be very near future here. Closed that stat sheet, but he had some of the hardest contact in that series against the Angels. It was just not finding holes.
Hold on. So on that note, before we dip, so since last 7 days. So last time we talked was the 24th. So since then, his line has been .294, .400. Slugging's been low with .353, but the OPS of .753. So he's just batting
right in the right direction.
It's there. Mm-hmm. It's the size of 7 days, 5 games. But
yeah, I'm counting on the fact that he's been finding the seats in the Rogers Center pretty efficiently still.
Yeah. Let June be good to Matt Chapman. June starts tomorrow, so let it be good.
Yes. June, new month. Reset button. Seeing we haven't had a guest here in a long damn time. Jason, this is your moment to shine. Tell everybody where to find you and what you got going on.
Yeah. Just like to thank all the three boys for letting me come to the show. I just had a ton of fun. You know, it's always nice to talk Blue Jays baseball with this group, and especially now that we're the official podcast of Jays Journal. It's even more awesome. And that's where I am. I like to contribute hopefully every month. Sometimes I can't get to that because of the busy school schedule. But I just finished my undergrad degree. So hoping to write a lot more, hoping to see a lot more Blue Jays games. And if anyone wants to chat Blue Jays base or anything else, really, you can find me at Jason's_JaysHub on Twitter.
There you go. Nice. Well, it was always a pleasure having you, Jason. So we'll have to make this happen more regular now that, you know, you're in between technically of degrees before you just keep going and blitzing through your end. So good times. But gentlemen, is there anything either of you would like to add or Jason for that matter, Blue Jays news-wise, any tidbits, anything before we sign off and do our 2 claps and Ric Flair? Go ahead.
Yes. Matt Devlin's fucking killing it. I'm sorry, Chris. He's killing
it. Wanted to poke that guy.
He's killing it. He's slaying that broadcast.
I'm not getting into it because it'll be another 20 minutes.
Look at him.
You can just keep slamming him through the Twitter page and getting a fight online.
Slaying it, broadcaster of the year.
You had to troll him to end the show, Adam. You had to be that guy.
Better than Shulman. Yeah. No, I can't even say that jokingly. He's not better than Shulman at all. Close.
All right, Blue Jays fans. Well, thank you very much for everybody out there in Twitter land and whatnot that were able to chime in and, you know, be such, you know, everybody's planting the flag, making sure that we're not too bad on Vlad at this point. So thank you for keeping us all in check. We are the official Jays Journal podcast, part of Fansided. Also, make sure you check out our friends over at Stadium Scene. You can catch them up. They're always very good friends of ours that retweet all our stuff, have great sports content for anything you can think of. Also, click us anywhere you can find us, wherever you get your podcasting pleasures for. And subscribe and like, spread the word to other Blue Jays fans. We love having you all here. And make sure you tune in every Tuesday at 7:30 for the foreseeable future here. We're going to be Tuesday nights. Join us, and we'll make sure we have some good fun guests like Jason Lee here from time to time as well. And until next time, boys, I guess that's two claps and a Ric Flair, and let's go Blue Jays.
Woo!
Let's go Blue Jays.
Adam sucks.
Yeah.